have a Bible, go ahead and turn to the book of 2 John. It's near the end of your Bible, just before the book of Revelation. And if you didn't bring a Bible and you'd like to borrow one, we have some Bibles here you can borrow or keep. It's our gift to you. If you need a Bible, we're glad for you to have that. And while you're looking that up, 2 John, the book of 2 John, let me just make this sort of a little bit of a foreshadowing plug. In September, we're going to do a series called At the Movies. We actually haven't done this in a couple years just with COVID, and I don't really know why, but this we haven't done one since 2019, but we'll use some movies as a jumping off spot to talk about some spiritual things, and it's kind of a fun series. And let me just kind of put this bug in your ear. It's a great series to invite someone who is unchurched, somebody who maybe who hasn't been in church in a while or has needs to be in church, whatever. It's kind of a sort of a low-key. The content we're going to talk about is really cool, and it's really deep. It's biblical, but we're going to use movies, popular movies, to kind of get the bus moving, so to speak. So in September, At the Movies, be praying about that, and we will have a great month together doing that. When was the last time you wrote a letter? Like, not an email, certainly not a text message, like a handwritten letter that you put in the mailbox. So maybe 20-some years ago when Bonnie and I were dating, she lived in Greensboro, I think I've told you the story, and I lived in Newport News, Virginia. We started dating long distance for, I think, the better part of a year before we figured out how to kind of get in the same zip code and figure out could she look at me like on a regular basis. And this was before cell phones. Now, I know I'm speaking a foreign language to some of our young people, right? I understand that. But we would get together, Bonnie and I would get together as often as we could, and we would talk on the phone long distance as often as we could afford, because back in the day, it cost you money to actually call people. You kids don't know anything about that, right? We walked uphill in the snow both ways. But there were months where my phone bill would be hundreds of dollars. Like, it was not inexpensive. But because of that, we would also write letters, which would only cost a stamp to put in the mail. You remember those things? Letters? Yeah. Right? Some of you only remember letters from Blue's Clues, right? You just got a letter. You just got a letter. Remember that? I remember that from our girls when they were growing up. But there was a time when the only correspondence between people came through the mail. Not email, right? Let's clarify. Snail mail. So I can remember going to the mailbox to see if Bonnie had, this is when we were dating, if Bonnie had written me a letter that maybe had arrived that day. I was really excited to get a letter from her because, again, we didn't talk every day. We didn't see each other today. We didn't FaceTime every day. We did not text every day. We would talk whenever we could. We would get on the phone whenever we could. But it was really a kind of a special day, maybe once or twice. I don't remember how often, maybe once a week, maybe a couple times a month. But I would get a letter, I would read it, I would hold on to it, I'd stick it in my pocket, I took it to work with me because it was a connection to her. You see, there's something special, thank you. Just be sure that you tell Bonnie I said nice things today, because you always tell her when you think I'm not saying nice things about her, which I don't think I do. Anyway, there's something special about a handwritten letter, right? Written in someone's own handwriting. It's personal. It's from one person, one individual to another, and it just is kind of special. And to be honest, there's not really the same in the digital landscape. It's just not the same. Getting an email is not like getting a handwritten letter. That's if you even know you got the email, because you got 40,000 emails in your inbox that you haven't read, Keith. It's definitely not like a text, which is so impersonal and maybe too, it's just simply too familiar, right? It's just too easy. But getting a handwritten letter is kind of something kind of neat. Something about receiving that handwritten letter. 13 years ago, when we launched Two Rivers Church. Now, texting wasn't quite as big a deal back then, but email had kind of gotten really popular. But I remember the very first Sunday that we launched, it was February of 2009, I gathered all of the information that people left with us. Not everybody left us their address or gave us their information, but everyone that I did get, I sat down that week and I wrote a handwritten letter to everyone that showed up, everyone who filled out a card. And I think it was over 100 notes that I wrote, and my hand was crippled. You know, like it was not easy. And I'm sure that many of you still have that note that I wrote you even today, right? Maybe not. But the idea was to reach out with something personal. We wanted people to know what it meant for us that you showed up on that Sunday, what it meant to me as the preacher, right? And I can tell you, it wasn't without a lot of effort and time and a little painful arm that week, but people came back. And I remember that many people made a point to tell me that that meant something to them. It was worth the effort. Over the next few weeks, we're going to read and study a letter. That's what it is. It's not a long letter. It's only one chapter. But it's within this letter, we sort of find the heart of John. And as good as writing a letter is, and as great as receiving a letter can be, like that expectation that I had when I went to the mailbox, it's not the same as being there with the person. I want to begin this letter sort of at the end in 2 John in verse 12. John writes, "I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy can be complete." See, John's desire was to be with the recipient of this letter. He wishes he could be there in person, so instead, he has to settle for sort of a second best, which was writing this letter. It would have to do for the time being. He obviously cared about the one that he was writing to. So that's sort of the end of this letter, that John really wanted to be there in person. He really wanted to have a face-to-face with whoever he was writing this letter to. Let's go back to the beginning of this letter, and let's kind of start from verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, the last time I preached from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we covered 58 verses in one Sunday, okay? Today, we're going to cover 3, right? 58 was too many. It wore me out. We're going to do 3 today. Let me start at verse 1. "The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth." Now, from that very first verse, from the very beginning of the greeting of this letter, there's a few questions that come to mind. Who is the elder? All right, we know John because that's who scholars have said, but which John, right? There's several in the New Testament. And who is the lady, and then who are her children? First, the elder. There's really no question in the Christian community. Most scholars agree that this letter is written by the Apostle John. He's the author of the Gospel of John. He's the author of the book of Revelation. He's the author of 1st and 3rd John, we believe, right? And he was the first cousin of Jesus. His mother was Salome, a sister of Mary. He was a fisherman by trade, and he was one of Jesus' inner circle along with his brother James and the apostle Peter. And he describes himself in his own gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. So we also know from early church writings that John lived a little longer, maybe were possibly the last of the apostles to leave this earth, to pass away. And quite possibly, he was the only apostle that died somewhat of a natural death. All of the other apostles, either through the Bible, through Scripture, or through early church writings from some of the first century leaders in the church, we believe the rest of the apostles died martyrs' deaths. And we don't know for sure, but we think that John, though exiled, died a natural death. Maybe he was the only of the 12 apostles. And he introduces himself as the elder. Now, the term elder in the Greek is the word presbyteros, and it simply means older. And it's in its sort of basic form, without any other context, that word means older. Now, in the church, the Bible describes certain leaders in the church as elders, sometimes called bishops, sometimes called pastors. And so the term elder assumed that these men would be older or more seasoned Christian leaders in the local church. Now, John may have held a position like this, possibly in the church at Ephesus, Or he may just be introducing himself as the elder, the older man writing this letter. Okay? So, for my perspective, this is the Apostle John, the same John that wrote the Gospel of John, same John that will write the book of Revelation from a vision that he has about heaven and about end times. He's the same John who writes a couple other letters that precede and come after 2 John. But the next question is a little bit more tricky. Who is the lady, right? Now, there's several different perspectives on this. Some have argued that the lady is an unknown sister, you know, a brother or sister, but in this case, because she's called a lady, it would be a sister in one of the local churches. Not a literal sister, but a sister in the Lord. And some unknown Christian sister in one of the churches. So others think that maybe this lady was named Electra or Electa, taking the Greek word for chosen. You see there in the verse it says, the elder to the lady chosen by God. Some have said, well, maybe there was a lady, and the Greek word, in the Greek, that word chosen is Electra or Electa. And they said, maybe there was a lady named that. Okay? Bit of a stretch for me. Okay? Third view on that one is that of who the lady is some may say it was another lady named Kyria or Syria, which would mean be close to the Greek equivalent of the word Martha. So again, kind of taking. taking some of the Greek and maybe taking a little bit of a guess that maybe there was someone named that. Again, I think that's a bit of a stretch. I think it's this fourth option. The most widely held opinion is that John was using sort of cryptic language as he wrote to a local church. You know how we talk about certain things as in a feminine sense, like the the United States of America, she, you know, or, you know, my alma mater, she, this, that, or the other. And I think that's kind of what John is doing here. He's using somewhat cryptic language as he wrote to the local church, and that would mean that her children would be the members of the local church. Now, this is what makes the most sense to me. John's writing this letter to a local church during a time of widespread persecution. So it would make sense that he would be somewhat cryptic, wouldn't it? He didn't want to expose this church, so he called her the lady. He didn't want to expose the people of this church by name, so he wrote to the lady and her children, the people of this church. He didn't want them to be exposed to more persecution. So the elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth. So John makes a connection to this church by mentioning their sort of commonality. What is it that brings them together? Well, it's the truth. John and this church have a common passion, the truth. Now, we're going to find out this week and next as we kind of unpack the first few verses here in 2 John that John uses the word truth 5 times in 4 verses. At the beginning of this letter. And it's a contrast to what we'll see later in this letter as John warns against those who are not speaking the truth. He warns them of some false teaching, those who are bringing a different message to this church. So John says, the elder to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also those who know the truth. And then verse 2 says, because of the truth which lives in us, and will be with us forever. So how does this truth, you might ask, live in us as a Christian, or live in the Christian? Well, in John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus himself describes his person, his nature, his essence as the truth. And so when we clothe ourselves in Christ, we clothe ourselves in truth. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. So in Christ Jesus, Paul says, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now, there are a lot of people in this world who claim to have the truth. There are a lot of different philosophies, there are a lot of different worldviews, there are a lot of different ways that you could go, a lot of different things that you could believe, and guess what? Everyone claims to have the truth. A lot of different religions, a lot of different ways to put your one foot in front of the other, but Jesus himself claimed to be the truth. And so we can be clothed, right? We can put on the truth of who Christ is. Let's keep reading verse 3. John says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, be with us in truth and love. So John uses three words to close sort of the greeting part of this letter. Grace, peace, and mercy. John uses the common Greek greeting of grace, along with the common Hebrew greeting, shalom, or peace, and bridges them together with the greeting mercy. Someone has said that mercy is the manifestation of the divine, or God's grace in action is mercy. So I love the way John ends verse 3. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Now, first of all, that's a pretty strong statement of faith, right? Grace and peace, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. There's a direct connection. John's saying there's this direct connection from someone who lived with Jesus, who was part of the inner circle, right? Who was possibly Jesus' best friend. He says, not only was he a good man, but he was the Son of God. And then he says, again, back to truth and love. Grace, mercy, peace be with the Christians through truth and love. The idea is that the Christians will be about loving others in truth. In this statement, if you look at it in the original text, it's in future tense. In other words, it's more of what John hopes for those he's writing to, that they will continue in truth and in love. Now, that's just the first three verses of this letter. And we're going to spend the next 4 weeks sort of unpacking the rest of this. And I know that school's going to be starting in a few weeks. I hate to break that news to some of our students. But let me get you back in the habit of homework. Is that fair? Let me give you a little bit of homework today, because I think it would be kind of cool for us to do a little bit deeper dive into what we talk about here, not just leave and go home and say, we go to lunch and Dave told a funny story, right? Or Dave's so silly, email and snail mail, that's funny, you know. Let's go a little deeper. I got three things that I want us to really kind of lean in on and actually do this week in response to just three verses that we looked at today in 2 John. First thing I want us to do is write a handwritten letter and mail it. There's these blue boxes around town. Stick it in the mailbox, put a stamp on it to someone this week. Right? Sort of the essence of this letter, 2 John verse 12, I have much to write to you, but I don't want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come see you. Who is it in your life that you can't get to see right now, but maybe you could send a note to, maybe you could, with your own hand, not a text message, not even an email, but with your own hand, with your own handwriting, send them a letter to encourage. Maybe you could send them that this week. Let me give you a couple ideas. Maybe it's one of your kids. Your kids are grown. Maybe they've gone off and living their own lives. Maybe you could write a note to one of your kids, or maybe one of your grandkids, or all of them. Maybe it's a friend from school. Students, maybe it's been a couple days, a couple minutes since you've seen your friends. Getting ready to go back to middle school, high school, wherever you know you go to school. Maybe there's somebody from school, or maybe some of us old people, us elder people, right? Presbyteros people, write to somebody that we knew growing up, that we went to school with. Maybe it's a friend from right here in our church. I want you to grab a piece of paper. I want you to put a pen and ink to that paper and write a letter. If you can't think of anybody, my address is 3321 Neuse Boulevard, New Bern, 28560. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to encourage them. Maybe start or end with this phrase, grace, peace, and mercy to you. I have a friend I went to high school with, and about a month ago, I saw on Facebook that he was having surgery. His brother had posted something. I'm friends with both of them on Facebook. And I assumed that he was having something, you know, sort of minor, so I didn't really think too much about it. And a couple weeks later, I got a message, like through Messenger on Facebook from him. I actually thought his account had been hacked. Like, we text each other, you know, through text, through our phones, but he sent me this through Facebook. And it was kind of like one of those, hey, guy, you know, like one of those generic, you know, when you feel like somebody's got hacked. So I texted him directly. Turns out that he had been diagnosed with throat cancer. And he was texting me. He was reaching out to me. And he was just a little anxious about sort of the pathology and the results and the margins that might come back based on that surgery they had. So he wanted me to pray for him, which is a really pretty cool honor for me. And a couple days later, he got really good news about the surgery, about the margins, and he let me know that. But since then, I've been checking up on him. And I'm going to reach out to his brother, sort of without him knowing, and see if I can get his home address. He lives in Miami, Florida. And I'm going to try to, that's who I'm going to write a letter to this week, just to encourage him, just to let him know, I haven't forgot you. This is a big deal. You're important to me. Grace, peace, and mercy to you. Use your best penmanship and write somebody a letter, okay? That's your first part of your homework. Second, I want you to do a quick word study on the word truth found in this passage. There are a lot of different Bible study helps, right? But I want us to kind of lean in on this idea of truth. We're going to come back to it next week, but I want you to see what you can learn about just that one word, truth, right? John says, to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. All right, do a cross-reference. Where is that word, you know, that original word, where else is that used throughout the New Testament? What does that word in the Greek, what's the original language say that word really means? How is it used throughout Scripture? And what's the significance of truth for us as Christians? All right, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you can, so you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. See, there's this connection with truth and love throughout Scripture. So find out, what is that? Now that you have purified yourself with the truth, since you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. There's something refining, something purifying about this truth. Let's find out what it is and how it can transform us. And finally, I want us to, once we've kind of done a little bit of study, I want us to think about, I want us to meditate on this idea of truth. Verse 3 here says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. Take some time this week to think, to meditate on what you've learned about this word, truth. There are a lot of different truths that people are trying to get us to buy into in this world. What does the Bible mean by truth? What does John mean by truth? What did Jesus mean when he said, I am the truth, the way, I am life? How should it shape you? That's forward thinking and doing, right? Christ will be with us in truth and love. How does this truth change us and live in us as Christians? Three quick things. Write a letter. Do a little word study. Take 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. If you don't know what that looks like, text me or send me an email. It's okay to send me an email. I don't need 40 letters. Handwritten letters this week on how do you do it, because I can't write that many back. Just email me that part. I'll send you how to do a little word study, some websites that you can use, trusted websites. And then meditate on that truth, right? Now, students, If you're here and you're a student, I'm getting ready to throw you a bone. Make sure your parents do their homework, okay? Like, that's your job this week. You make sure your parents are doing their homework, and maybe you can do it as well. I remember when I was in college, and from time to time, you know, obviously going off to college, one of those things, one of the first times I'd been away from home for an extended time, and my mom, every once in a while, my dad would write a letter, and sometimes it came with goodies, you know, cookies or candy or whatever, and sometimes it was just a letter, and I kept those letters for a long time. Like, that was really meaningful to me that my parents had stopped taking the time in their own hand and written. I wish I still had them. I might still have them in the attic somewhere, truth be told. You know what I still do with encouraging letters that I get? I keep them. You know what I do when somebody emails me or puts on a comment card or maybe writes a letter to me that's criticism? I throw it in the trash. I read it, I consider it, but, you know, I don't keep those. But I keep the encouragement. I think that's kind of who Paul or John is. John says, I really want to come see you. I really want to do more than just write you a letter. I want to see you in person. But I'm so glad he did write, because we've kept this letter around for quite a while. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, it's just amazing when we think about how so many of the parts of the Bible came to be. Some are letters, some from the Old Testament are prophecy, and the New Testament, Lord. Some are just an account of things that people saw and heard and knew about. And Lord, you've brought all those things together in your word. And Lord, for the next couple of weeks, we're gonna get to read and study and think about a letter that John wrote to, I believe, a church that was dear to him. A church that was so dear that he really wanted to be there in person, but in lieu of being able to go in person, he wrote this letter. Lord, and it's a letter that we still have in our possession today. And Lord, it's encouraging to us. And I pray that we will slip this letter into our hearts over the next month, that we might take it to heart. We might break it out and read it and think about your grace, your peace, your mercy. We might think about what it looks like for us to live in truth and love moving forward. So God, I just pray that your blessing over us as your church, as we read these words of the Apostle John, that they would just flow into us and fill us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. That we might become more of who you've called us to be. That we might take to heart and treasure this letter that John wrote. That we might live for you in truth and love. We pray this in Jesus' name.